This is Georgian Landis speaking on What Says the Scriptures. We're most happy to again be with you and able to bring you a message from God's Word. In our last study, we began a consideration of the question as to whether Jesus Christ is actually coming back to this earth. We noted that it is a very important doctrine because of the person who is coming, Jesus the Son of God, because we cannot understand the Scriptures without it, because it affects the other great doctrines of the Christian faith, because it gives light in the darkness of this present evil age, because we should know the secrets God has seen fit to reveal to us, and because of being part of the Scriptures, God says it is profitable. We then began to weigh the evidence which supports the doctrine of Christ's second advent. We noticed that the Old Testament is full of promises of Christ's return and glorious reign upon this earth. We will now consider a second proof. Our Lord himself repeatedly promised to return to this earth. He made many direct assertions to that effect, of which we quote but a few. In Matthew 16:27, he said, For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. In the 24th chapter of the same gospel, verse 27, he said, For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In the 25th chapter, he uttered these words, When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from his goats. Notice that in each of these three passages, we have the very clear statement, the Son of Man shall come. As the Son of Man was on the earth when he made these predictions, they must refer to his coming a second time. We turn next to that very familiar passage in the opening of the 14th chapter of John's Gospel. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. How clear is the statement, and if I go to prepare a place for you. We know that he did go, that he ascended to heaven 40 days after his resurrection. Equally clear is the prediction, I will come again. How can we believe the first statement and question the second? Then we have his words to the Apostle Peter in the last chapter of John. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Is more evidence needed? We turn to the last page of the Bible and hear the glorified Jesus say to John, Surely I come quickly. To which the apostle of love replied, Amen, even so come, Lord Jesus. If we love the Lord Jesus, we will, as Paul says, love his appearing. Let us say with the poet, I am waiting for the coming of the Lord who died for me. O, his words have thrilled my spirit, I will come again for thee. I can almost hear his footfall on the threshold of the door, and my heart is longing to be with him evermore. Not only did our Lord predict his second advent by direct statements, but he also taught it in many of his parables. In the parable of the 10 virgins, they waited for the coming bridegroom and were aroused by the shout, Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. The true church is the espoused bride of Christ and should be eagerly awaiting his coming. One has beautifully expressed the thought in verse, Bright the prospect soon that greets us of that long-for nuptial day when our heavenly bridegroom meets us on his kingly, conquering way in the glory, bride and bridegroom reign for aye. In the 19th of Luke, our Lord tells of a certain nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. But before his departure, he called his 10 servants and delivered to them 10 pounds and said unto them, "Occupy till I come." In due time, he returned and had an accounting with the servants. Dear listener, if you are a Christian, you are one of his servants, and we are to occupy till he comes, and come he will. In view of these very clear and definite statements of the Lord Jesus as to his second advent, dare we question it for a moment? To do so is to infer that he, who is truth incarnate, was either deluded himself or was seeking to delude his followers. If we cannot believe what the Lord said about his second advent, dare we believe other promises which he made? Not only did Jesus Christ predict his return, but in the next place we will see that God the Holy Spirit, through all of the New Testament writers, promised the return of Christ. We must remember that when we are reading the epistles of Paul, John, Peter, James, and Jude, we are reading not merely their opinions, but the words of the Holy Spirit, who by inspiration directed them what to write. Let me read a few of these. In Philippians 3:20 we read, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 are these very definite statements, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God." In the second chapter of Titus are these words, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ." The Apostle John predicts the same event in his first epistle, chapter 2, verse 28. "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." In chapter 3, verse 2 are these wonderful words, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." The Apostle Peter, in his first epistle and first chapter, exhorts the saints with these words, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And in the third chapter of his second epistle, he warns against those who deny the second coming of Christ. We quote, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." James gives this word of encouragement to distressed Christians. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Be also patient, establish your heart, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." Jude adds his testimony to that of his brethren with the words, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all." Another very convincing proof of the Lord's return, and yet one which many careless Christians fail to notice and appreciate, is the observance of the Lord's Supper. Let us read the words of the Holy Spirit through Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." The Lord's Supper is a remembrance feast for Christians to fill the interim between our Lord's ascension and his return. It points in two directions, backward to his atoning death upon the cross and onward to his second coming. I often wonder how those who discount or deny the fact of the second advent can truly observe the remembrance feast. As we sit around the table, spread to the memorials of his sacrifice. Precious is the thought that before we can thus meet again, the Lord whom we are remembering may come, and we will be forever with him, no longer needing any ordinance to remind us of him and his death for us. The hymn writers beautifully express the thought, sweet the feast of love divine, broken bread and poured out wine, sweet memorials to the Lord call us round his heavenly board, some from earth, from glory some, severed only till he comes. And so, dear listeners, we are confident that the Lord Jesus Christ is actually coming back to this earth, since the Old Testament is full of predictions of his return, since the Lord himself promised to return, since the Holy Spirit throughout the New Testament has promised that advent. Be with us for our next message, where we will consider some things with which Christ's second coming is often confused, such as the death of the believer, the conversion of the sinner, the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We close with the lovely lines of Mr. J.G. Deck. A little while our Lord shall come, and we shall wander here no more. He'll take us to our Father's home, where he for us has gone before, to dwell with him, to see his face, and sing the glories of his grace. A little while he'll come again, let us the precious hours redeem, our only grief to give him pain, our joy to serve and follow him. Watching and ready may we be, as those who long their Lord to see. Thank you very much, dear friends, for listening. This is George M. Landis speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.